Hi, and welcome to Fresh Voices, the podcast where we tell stories and learn new perspectives. I'm Julia Pinney, Voices Editor for the Georgetown Voice. Today I'm here with Carolyn Kirschy to talk about dating apps, why we use them, why we don't, all that fun stuff. Carolyn, would you introduce yourself?
Yeah. My name is Carolyn Kirschy. It sounds like the chocolate bar, but starts with a K. I'm from Pennsylvania, so it's kind of ironic. I do live near Hershey Park. I'm from Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Public school squad, we out here. I'm in the business school here at Georgetown. I'm double majoring in marketing and operations information management. I'm also a global business fellow with the SFS. I like to keep busy. That's like a theme in my life. I'm pretty involved on campus. I am the president of the Georgetown Marketing Association. I really like talking about marketing, so I might slip that in here. And I'm also the chief marketing officer for Innovo Consultants.
You got a very full resume, Carolyn.
Just a little bit.
Okay, well, I feel like this is a very appropriate topic to talk about as we approach Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just start out. When did you decide to download a dating app, and why did you choose the one that you did? Or did you download multiple? Kind of what was the beginning of your relationship with dating apps?
Okay, this is going to take me back. I think the first time I downloaded a dating app, Mom, don't listen to this podcast. I think it was freshman year summer. So I'd been a freshman, and then over the summer, I downloaded it. And it was mostly because I was in New York, but I was in New York under kind of weird circumstances. So I mentioned I'm from Pennsylvania. I was lucky enough after freshman year to get an internship at an advertising agency. It was kind of my dream job at the time. But the only way my lovely, we'll go with stringent mother would let me work in New York and live at least marginally in New York as if I came home every weekend. And at least from Georgetown, I really didn't know anyone that was going to be in the city. And so that was just kind of like, I would get out of work on Monday nights and I was like, I think I was 19 at the time and just had like absolutely nothing to do. I did not have a fake ID. I didn't have like anyone to really go out with. I didn't really know anyone except my roommates who were from like all over the country. And we weren't even that close friends. So I kind of downloaded a dating app kind of passively, like as a pastime. I figured, you know, maybe I like go out on a few dates, meet a few people, see how it goes. I did meet a couple people, but was mostly a pretty unsuccessful summer, especially because they'd be like, let's hang out Friday. And I'm like, I'm in Pennsylvania. So
not gonna work.
Yeah. And then it just seemed like I was like putting them off or like was kind of postponing because a lot of other people aren't like down to just like go out during the week. Also, I was really weird about the fact that they knew I was 19 because my age was on there, but like I couldn't go to a bar or anything. And I feel like a lot of dating culture is like, you know, going out for drinks or something. I did meet a couple of people, nothing majorly worked out. But overall, it was just kind of my first foray into dating apps. And then I deleted them when I went back to campus. I just find I have not been on a dating app. As much as we're talking about today, I've not been on dating apps like in DC at Georgetown. I feel like that's really weird.
That's something that I think we're going to talk about later just the difference between using dating apps in the greater world versus using them on a college campus.
Within your community.
Are so different.
Oh, I did have it briefly. I had it, but mostly as a joke. I think I had a Tinder. This must have been sophomore. It was sophomore spring. Because it was me and my friend Helena. We had Tinder. And we set it to 55+ just because we were bored. That was a fun time. Got a little creepy, deleted it. And then,
yeah, seriously.
It was really just, we were sitting in Lao, bored. And then I downloaded it again this past summer, which is weird to say that was like my sophomore summer because it feels like 10 years ago.
College time. That's what I've started to call it.
Yeah. It passes quickly and also incredibly slowly. But that's kind of, and then I was on it very briefly this summer for a few reasons. But yeah, we'll probably get into that.
Yeah, no, I would like to get into that. So this summer you were again in New York.
Yeah.
And you again decided to download a dating app. Was this summer, did you know people in New York or were you kind of in the same situation as the year before?
Kind of the same situation. I mean, it ended up differently because I worked at a company that was like super cool about making us go to events. Like they had like a team bonding activity on a Thursday, and like they didn't even supervise us. They're just like interns go to this like charades place, and like they bought us Yankees tickets. So I ended up being close friends with the people I worked with, which hadn't been the case the previous summer. But really my impetus for downloading it, I think I downloaded Tinder and Bumble. I had never downloaded Bumble before, but I think that was like the night I got there. And I had just had like kind of unsuccessful, not the right word, but I just kind of had a meh sophomore year. Like they call it the sophomore slump. I think everything just kind of loses its novelty. And I knew everyone almost to like a bad, that could almost be a bad thing sometimes. which, you know, So like, I was just like, I'm in New York. I was determined not to have the kind of lame summer, quote unquote lame, that I'd had the previous summer. And I was like, who cares if I don't know anyone, I'm going to like make friends and I'm going to have, I think it was like, I'm just going to have a wild summer. And kind of started on dating apps, but my approach was very different. And the first weekend I was there, I ended up, my approach was different, but my
behavior was not. Your approach different? Because you were saying that the previous summer, it almost felt like a pastime.
Yeah.
Did it feel like a pastime the next summer?
So I had kind of learned a couple things from genuinely trying the previous summer. So I feel like people popularize this idea of like Tinder, like the swipe on Tinder, where I literally have seen someone doing this in my accounting class. They sat in front of me and like, in class, they're just like right, right, left, right, right, like not even like thinking at all. I think there's definitely a double standard on dating apps, where in which this there's like a supply and demand thing, which is a blessing and a curse. So it's kind of well known that there are a lot more guys on dating apps than girls. It's also more well known that there are a lot of guys who maybe don't always have like, I mean, everyone has different reasons for being on apps, but I don't know. I think the supply-demand issue was my biggest issue over the summer. And, like, that was something I kind of realized having come back to campus and, like, thought about it just passively during the year, was that I was kind of, like, passively swiping. And what that resulted in. So, like, I'd be swiping, right? Swipe right, swipe left, swipe right. You have a match. You have another match. You have another match. Like, not, like, in a, I mean, it's New York. There's just so many people that you don't even need to be, like, a supermodel to match with a fair quantity of people, as I don't consider myself one. But you end up matching with a fair quantity of people, especially if you're like me, who my friends have told me I have maybe a little bit of lower standards, but I'm more about personality. So you end up with all these people, and then it's kind of the like dance is very similar. It's like, hey, or like you say something witty, or it's like a reference to your profile, and you kind of have just this like, it's conversation, but like you don't, it doesn't really get anywhere. Like
that was kind of my question, was what you were looking for in a profile. Did you just look at the picture? Did you read the profile? And I guess for me at least, how do you know that you have chemistry with someone over text?
So I will tell you the like broader rule. Usually I like, very rarely did I ever experience chemistry over text. And I feel like that part of that is because when you're swiping on that many people, you're having so many simultaneous conversations. Like it would just be me on like a Monday, like at night, because I had nothing to do after I like got dinner. It was just me like texting, but you're texting like six people at once, all about the same kind of generic conversations. And then I'm really bad. First of all, I'm bad at names, but their name's like right there at the top. But like,
yeah, you have no excuse, Carol.
I know. But like, keeping people straight can be a genuine issue when it's like you're talking to Joe and he likes basketball. But then like, if you have so many similar meaningless conversations, you can lose context pretty easily, and like you're not focused on any particular person. It's almost like the mindset I had was like, let me just kind of keep up these conversations and maybe one of them will like luck out and lead somewhere. But I really, like, if I'm honest, I was like texting 30 other people at the same time, and like I wasn't that invested in any particular person. And I think that's could be a good thing, because you're minimizing your potential for rejection, right? Like, it's not like you're texting this one person and then they stop texting you back and it's like, oh my God, that's a thing. Versus like, if you're texting 30 people, you don't even remember if someone stops responding.
The pain's almost non-existent because you have so many
no
other
investment
options
in the conversation.
Okay.
But the issue is when you have no investment in a conversation, like likely the other person doesn't either. And then so neither of you care at all about anything you're talking about, and it kind of just fizzles. And so when I redownloaded the app sophomore summer and I was like thinking about how to go about it, I still wanted to have like a fun wild summer and like meet a bunch of people, but I wanted to meet a bunch of people. And I just thought back to the feeling I had of like having all of these people that I was trying to keep straight and like almost the anxiety of it. And I was just like, I really don't want to do that. It kind of, because I also at one point joined the league, which I am like embarrassed to admit now. My friend joined it and was like, you got to join it. Oh my gosh. I now think, I don't know if you know what the league is, but it's
a you explain it?
Yeah, I would be happy to. The league is basically Bumble with an application, or like Tinder with an application, where in which you have to apply and then be on a waiting list. And it's kind of a good marketing tactic because like they try to get you. You want to get off the waiting list, right? And so they try to incentivize you by, like, recommending, referring other people to the league. And then that moves you up in, like, this 10,000-person waiting list. But you feel so exclusive. And then you finally get in. And it kind of does weed out some people. Like, it's not, like, super exclusive. But, like, you have to have a job and, like, college. Which, like, doesn't disqualify a person. But, it, like, that's kind of where we are in life. And, like, you know more about like their career and stuff.
I guess my question with that is there's so many different types of dating apps now. There's, you know, there's J-Date, I think that's what it's called.
J-Swipe or whatever. J-Swipe. I think there's J-Swipe and J-Date.
Oh, are there really? That's so confusing. There's Christian Mingle, there's FarmersOnly.com, yeah. There's The League. I guess I'm thinking of one of my good friends who is dating a guy who goes to the local community college. She goes to Berkeley. Uh-huh. Really smart. He's super smart too, but he's at community college. And honestly, without Tinder, they wouldn't have met each other. So I'm curious how apps like the ones I just mentioned kind of close off people to meeting people who they might not have considered.
I think that's where you have to think about the psychology of it. Like each app, they're all kind of interchangeable in the sense that like you're just meeting new people, but you almost have to think about like, what is the psychology behind someone who wants to sign up for this app? And like the thing that I think is beneficial about dating apps is it kind of checks a couple basic boxes for you. Like I've gotten into this, like not debate, but like I've discussed this with my one friend who is like, oh, isn't it so cool and romantic to meet in person? And it's like, think about,
you mean like a meet cute?
Yeah, like a meet cute, like, okay. Or like a person in your like bio class, or like someone you like randomly meet at a bar. Like, wouldn't that be romantic? And it's like, think about how crazy it is that we think that's like the normal way people should meet each other. It's like the idea is like, oh, so here's the bare minimum that the boxes that need to get checked off. First of all, like you have to be attracted to that person. Second of all, they also have to be attracted to you. Like, think about the number of crushes you've had, or the number of people you've liked or think that are cute. That just, like, the odds of that working out are already pretty slim. Let's put that at, like, 50-50 each. We'll give that, like, 25% that you like or are attracted to each other.
Mm-hmm. There's mutual interest.
Yeah. Then let's think about the odds that both of you are relatively available. So, like, not dating, not married, for God's sake. Like, or, like, have not... Or, like, aren't in, like, a hookup, but, like, emotionally you're probably not available.
Emotional availability is a big one.
Yeah, because, like, or, like, even you're completely single, but your boyfriend dumped you a week ago, and you're really not emotionally available. Like, you need to be at the right time and place in your life and to be open for that. So, like, any dating app across the board, you at least have those three boxes checked off, where it's, like, I like you, you like me. That sounds like the Barney song. I'm not gonna go there. I like you.
You and then, like me.
And then we're both kind of, to some degree, open to something.
In a way, it kind of gets over that like vulnerability step of,
oh yeah,
you know, sussing out if someone likes you
and trying to like read
which
their
is
face.
Impossible.
And like some
if
people,
if anyone
even, like,
thinks they're good at that, I'm sorry, you're not. Yeah, it's like, impossible to tell.
And even people, if they do like each other, sometimes it's like insecurity or like they're bad about showing it or they'll never make the first move because, mm-hmm. like, that's kind of descriptive of like someone that I've met. And like we probably wouldn't have met if it weren't for the fact that like we had both obviously swiped on each other. And like, so that's a whole other thing. But beyond those three boxes, each individual dating app kind of has a self-selecting element. And like going all the way back to the league, that's why I really didn't like it. It's because like, who's the type of person that signs up for a dating app that like wants to filter out non-prestigious people for whatever reason? Like, maybe like your first inclination wouldn't be to like date someone from community college, but like that doesn't mean they're not a good compatible person for you. And if you value prestige so much, it's like that's not the type of pool I want to be in because you're probably an asshole. But like the or like Christian Mingle, like maybe it's really important, you're very religious and it's really important for you to be with someone who shares that religion.
That's definitely one I understand.
Yeah,
just because that being Christian is, it's a worldview. It's just a way that you see the world, and I can understand wanting to be with someone who sees the world in a similar way to you.
Yeah, and if you want to be with someone seriously and you have like a fundamental disagreement on that level, that can complicate things. So again, it's another box checked that you don't have to worry about. So I definitely get the appeal of different dating apps and like their purpose. But the thing that I did like about the league is the idea, they gave you three people every day. So there wasn't really swiping at all. It was like every morning you'd wake up, or maybe it was around 12, I don't know. It wasn't like first thing, but you'd get in your app, it's like you have three new people. And so you just look at those three people and you actually like read their bio. And it's a little bit more built out and like look at a couple of their pictures and like see more. And it's like, then you can like check, yes, I want to talk to this person, or no, I don't. And there's like a degree of like matchmaking that goes on behind the scenes, but you're talking to fewer people. That is actually
what I was gonna ask. Is that something that you then took into your use of Bumble and Tinder?
Yeah, that's 100%. And I lied. I did the league sophomore during the year, and I set the age to I think like 22 or 23. Like I set the age very limited, but like just outside of college, so I like wouldn't match with my friends or anything weird. So that was kind of a mindset that after having done that sophomore, like spring, fall, I took into Bumble and Tinder. And instead of sitting there at work, like mindlessly swiping left or right, you know, I like maybe swiped or like I swiped until I matched with like, I swiped six people or like seven people, or like I only swiped till I matched with like three or four people. And like people that I saw something in common with or like wanted to have a conversation with. And then depending on like who matched with me, I kind of just had a conversation that way. And I don't know which I use more of. I think I use Tinder and Bumble pretty equally, but like that outlook toward dating apps was the same, where I wasn't selective. Like cause I'm just not a super like selective person. Like I'm just not superficial and picky. Because as you said, like a lot of times you're swiping on a face that you don't know anything about. And so I don't want to like filter out people that way, but I kind of just took it slower. And that allowed me the chance to get to know people. And then that was pretty brief, but like.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I know the end of this story.
Yeah.
I know that there's a bit of a happy ending. So. Would you talk about that a little bit?
Of course, yeah. So this was literally, I started work Monday. I think on Wednesday or whatever, I matched a couple people. And then I think it was Wednesday or Thursday. There was this guy that like came up in my thing, and his profile stood out because he was my age. Wasn't like a 24 saxophone player or like 25. But he was my age. I saw that he went to Yale, which is also like not like I wasn't like, oh my God, Yale. Like, but it was just the fact that like he was like in school and like I guess it implied that he was smart. I don't know. Like, it was just...
You saw that and got a good feeling.
Yeah, but not because of... But not because of Yale. Like, I it wasn't like that was a thing. But, like, it was just like, here's someone my age who's also, like, pretty academically motivated. And
that's what I mean about having a good feeling. You know, there are, just like the way that you signed up for the league, there are just certain comforts that we have.
Yeah.
Of, oh, okay, this is someone who might kind of see the world like I do.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. It's just funny because, like, we talked about it. He's like, you thought it was cool that I went to Yale. I was like, no. Asshole, no. So anyway, it just seemed like we had a little bit in common. Honestly, like, I don't even remember. I think I just, like, swiped right and, like, kind of just kept going. And then we matched. And then, again, so I was only probably talking, I was probably texting, like, five people total. I had made plans with this guy, the 25-year-old saxophone player, to get lunch on Saturday. And then me and this guy started talking, and it's weird. Like, you, and 99% of the time I agree, like, having chemistry over text is, like, something that doesn't usually happen. And it's one of the reasons why my second philosophy was not only being selective with, like, the swiping, but also trying to meet people as soon as possible, because I was just like, I'm just never gonna text someone and be like, oh, like, and, like, feel something, you know, like, especially if you don't know them at all. And so I was like, my the second part of my policy was for people that I even had, like, a little bit of a back and forth with, like, hey, let's get coffee, because then if you're in person, you can really tell. Like, you really can't tell over text.
Yeah, I think it's good to actually hear someone say that out loud, because sometimes when I hear about people using dating apps, I'm like, how do you have this secret knowledge that I don't? Because I literally cannot figure out how to tell how I would get along with someone via text message.
I think that's almost more important than, like, being selective with swipes. I think they go hand in hand, but, like, trying to actually meet someone as soon as possible will kind of not only filter out people who are just, like, fucking around, because, like, that's a lot of people.
That's some people on dating apps, yes. Yeah. You can't deny that.
So, like, it kind of filters out those people. And, like, you can always tell in person. Like, you can always tell. I would, like, recommend choosing an activity that doesn't take a lot of time, where you can have an excuse afterwards. So, like, just in case. Because, like, you're going to have a lot of awkward dates. That's just, like, if you try to meet people more, that's just part of it. Like, because there's no way to tell in advance whether it's going to be really good or just, like, oh my God.
Yeah. So what was different with this someone that you met?
So for all that I've said about you can't really tell over text, there was something about our conversation that was different, which this whole thing is going to sound really cheesy and obnoxious, but, like,
it's okay.
Genuinely,
I'm a romantic. I can take it.
So, like, genuinely, we were just kind of, like, texting back and forth, like, just kind of basic stuff. But there was something about the conversation where, like, it had, like, a liveliness to it. Like, the other thing I did was, like, try not to overthink what I said. Because in, like, text conversations, especially when you're texting, like, random strangers, like, the best thing you can do is just be yourself. Because if you, like, try to text someone like you're someone else, or, like, try to be like, what should I say? What should I do? Like, how is that? Like, you're just acting like someone else. And then even if you're compatible that way, even, like, if the conversation works as you're trying to be someone else, like, it won't work when you actually are yourself. Does that make any sense?
That makes all the sense in the world. Of, like, so if you just send screenshots of all your conversations to your friend's group chat
just
and say, what should I reply? Then you can't do that in person is the problem.
Yeah, you just can't overthink it and don't act like you're someone else. Like, my whole attitude, my motto going into this whole summer was just, like, waste no time, take no shit. I was just like, I don't care as much, and I'm not going to care to the degree that, like, I overthink things or get, like, or, like, just insecure about things. Like, I'm just here to have a fun summer, and I'm gonna meet some people, and some dates are gonna be awkward, but I'm like, I have no obligation to, like, keep seeing that person or, like, just waste no time, take no shit. I was just like, I'm here for a fun time, and we're just going to see what works out. So anyway, so I was kind of just not caring what I said. But I was texting this guy, and it was actually like, there was just something like, I was texting him on Bumble. And then I was texting him on Bumble, and then I would flip over to texting my best friend from college. And we were having two separate conversations at the same time, but I confused them because like something about the way in which I was conversing with my best friend literally confused me with that of this like person I'd never met talking. I was like, this is kind of weird. This is weird. Like, it was just kind of like, that's interesting. And so he mentioned this TV show. Have you seen Evil Genius on Netflix?
No, but I've heard the name.
So it's a four-part docuseries about like a serial killer, because we were just talking about like random things to watch on Netflix.
Very romantic.
Oh yeah. Oh, it gets so much better. So he mentions this four-part series, like totally bingeable, like in one sitting. And I don't know. I still to this day do not know what compelled me, but I was like, would you ever want to rewatch it sometime? Like, and if you know me, like never in my life have I been forward. Like, freshman year, I had a crush on this guy who was like my mentor's roommate, and I just like waited for 6 months for him to like notice me.
Mm-hmm.
And like, or like other people, I would just be like kind of waiting on their cue. And I was just like, waste no time, take no shit. I was like, I want to meet this person. And I just saw an opening, and I just was like, I'm taking it. And so we made a date for Saturday night.
So this is after the lunch with the saxophone.
And after a spontaneous date the Friday. I had three dates in 24 hours. I was determined to have a really fun summer.
I like the initiative.
I really tried my best. I really tried my best to just like stack my time. And then it all fell apart. So Saturday, because I was like, well, he was going to come down. I was staying at NYU. And he was, it turns out he was from New York. So I was like, you got to like pick dinner. And in my bio, I was like, French fries are everything. And turns out a block from my place, there's a restaurant called Pommes Frites. And it's just a French fry restaurant. So like already bonus points. But yeah, so we met up. That was the funny part. The guy I was with the night before turns out to have gone to his same high school and been in the same year. So, like, the night before, he was talking about, like, oh, I went to this high school. And I was like, okay. And, like, they knew someone at Georgetown, so it was, like, small talk. And then as we're walking, I was like, oh, yeah, so, like, where'd you go to school in the city? And it's like, the same high school. And I was like, oh, by any chance, do you happen to know this person? And he's like, oh, yeah, he's super nice. We were, like, friends in high school. And I was like, I just, like, could see it all crashing down.
Yeah.
Luckily, it didn't. That was a complete aside. But basically, we got French fries. I forget if we got dessert. I think we just got French fries. And then we went up to my place to watch the TV show, Evil Genius. And if you've never seen Evil Genius, it's about the serial killer that, I don't even think she was a serial killer, but basically there's this guy who is commanded to do all of these things. It's super scary, with like a bomb around his neck. And the issue was that the bomb went off. And they had, like, police footage of the bomb going off attached to his neck. And the documentary showed the bomb going off attached to his neck. And so this guy had seen the documentary and knew what was going to happen. And, like, the whole Netflix documentary, like, they teased it. They were like, boom, black screen. So, like, you knew it was coming. We're sitting there watching my laptop, and he's flinching more than I am. And we're both just sitting there terrified, waiting for a man's head to explode. And finally we just like slam the laptop. We're like, nope, wrong show. But it was like a lot of things went wrong. Like, I realized mid-date that I had gone on a date with his high school friend the night before, and also watched perhaps the least romantic film or TV show of all time. And but like in spite of all that, it was like there was just like a connection that
so
we had.
You know what's striking me is that for all this talk of meet cutes and how we all kind of think about, like, I know my ideal meet cute is reaching for the same pair at the grocery store, and suddenly we look up and we're like, oh, my soulmate.
Yeah.
And for all this talk,
he has to like pears.
That's like number one criteria. Must love pears.
Yeah.
For all this talk of meet cutes, there's a meet cute right there. I mean, maybe not the conventional meet cute, but it's such a cute moment and such a great story.
Yeah.
That who cares if you met on a dating app?
Yeah. And like I remember when I like saw him, because we were like, we were meeting at this one place. And he's like, oh, where are you? I was like, I'm on Waverly Place. He was like, I'm on Waverly Place. And I was like, oh, yeah, we're all Waverly Place.
Yeah. Is he a wizard?
No, I was like, I'm where all the wizards are. And like, that was just like that's content. Like, it's just like a line. I don't know. That's like, romance. But but like, you do have those like moments. Like, I remember seeing him for the first time and his really dumb $2 teal headphones that he was wearing. And I remember I, like, wore heels, and I shouldn't have because he's my height, but I couldn't tell from his pictures. And he remembers the dress I was wearing, like, very, very vividly. And, like, when I wear that dress now, he's like, that's the dress. Like, it wasn't even a cute dress. I mean, he thought it was cute. But, like, you still have that moment. And, like, he's actually the person that I had the back and forth with about, like, wouldn't it have been cool if we met in person? And it's like, well, first of all, we probably wouldn't have. And so, and I'm kind of biased. My dad and my stepmom actually met, I think, through Match.com. And, like, they have, like, for all intents and purposes, like, a really cool, supportive relationship. My dad's actually had, like, 2 kids within the past, like, 3 years. Because my stepmom had never had kids. And that was, like, she always wanted to be, like, a mom. But, like, they're kind of making it work. And they met online. And it's, like, and she was from, like, England. Like, she had been in America for, like, 10 years. It's not like they met on a random trip to America or something. But, like, it just, I think the best thing about online dating is it gets you outside of your, like, track. Like, if you think about
your bubble.
Yeah. No, it's more like a track.
Your track?
Like,
okay.
Think about your meet cute idea, right? You're at Trader Joe's and you reach for the same pair. It's like, think about the motions you go through on a daily basis. And I know this more than anyone because, like, I'm hella busy. But, like, think about what you do, like, morning to night. Like, really, where are the opportunities for you to, like, randomly bump into someone and, like, what? Have a conversation? Like, get their number? Both of you think they're cute? All those boxes are checked? Like, I think we just live, especially if you're in, like, really demanding, like, careers and stuff, we just live these like little track lives, and the people you bump into along the way are just such a limited pool of people, most of which, like, it would be terrible if you dated. Like, no, like, most of the people I like spend a lot of time with outside of classes are like my boards and my clubs. Like, that is not gonna work.
Yeah.
Like, or like
have
my,
a little bit of separation.
Or like my very close friends.
Yeah.
That's
also
not gonna work. So, like, I think I almost think the idea of, like, the random meet cute is destructive in the sense that, like, it holds us back from realizing just how insane and improbable that, like, fairy tale is, and how realistically, despite its drawbacks, online dating can have a lot of benefits and introduce you to people you never would have otherwise met.
I mean, something I was thinking about was if dating apps mess with the organic process of meeting someone. And, like, I was just thinking of, I was talking with my cousin's husband the other day.
Mm-hmm.
He works in DC, and we just had dinner one night. And he was like, oh, I'm gonna, we, and like, we're close, but we're not mm-hmm. super close.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, I'm gonna ask you a personal question. Are you dating anyone? And I was like, oh, no. And he's like, oh, it's okay. That'll happen organically. And this whole idea of organically seems to go against dating apps. This idea that I want to date someone, so I'm going to download an app. But the more I was thinking about it, isn't that kind of the same as going to actively saying every Friday night, I'm gonna go to a bar and talk to someone new?
Yeah.
Or just turning to someone in one of your classes and being like, hey, do you want to hang out sometime?
Yeah. I mean, there's such a stigma around it. It's almost like this is going to be a false equivalency, but like the stigma around therapy, where in which like people have this weird hang up about something that can be really beneficial. Like that's the only equivalency. But like the idea that like my, when my mom found out that I met this guy on a dating app, she was like very upset. And I had to convince her that Bumble was like the good dating app.
Because that is the case. The different dating apps have these different reputations.
Exactly. And if we had met on Tinder, like, I don't think, like, I can't even imagine. She found out later that I had Tinder at the same time and, like, flipped out. And, like, but the ironic part is the same guy was on Tinder. It just happened to be. The other thing is he only had his radius set to a mile, which in New York is, like, very small. And we only matched because he visited his one friend in Tribeca, like, the one night. So, like, if you want to talk about odds,
yeah,
the odds,
I mean,
are not in my favor.
The odds, yeah, the odds were not.
It was
in
pretty
favor.
Incredible, regardless. But yeah. So like, the odds are we could have met on Tinder. Like, I think for all the reasons we've kind of talked about, like, dating apps just expand your pool, and I think they do suck for a lot of reasons. But I think you can mitigate that by trying to meet in person as soon as possible, and like, and trying to be thoughtful about the process and not like quality over quantity. Like, I think they can work if you make them work for you, and otherwise they're just a vehicle to introduce you to someone, you know, like they're just a vehicle to get you outside of your little bubble. And I think that can be a really, really good thing, especially I just hate the stigma against, you know, like organic or like that meeting people is like the normal way.
This idea of how love ought to be.
It's very clearly the normal way. Like, there's someone in my family who like just like fundamentally doesn't want to join dating apps, but like is single. And it's like, why, what do you have to lose? Like, it, this like stigma is just so silly that it's holding people back from meeting people who could like very positively like become part of their life, you know? Like, there's so much missed opportunity in just saying like, oh, everyone on dating apps sucks, when it's like a lot of people suck. That's the thing, when people say dating apps suck, it's just like, or like the internet sucks, it's like, no, we're all just people. And maybe the sucky people are much more visible because they can like manipulate the platform or something like that, but like you're always gonna get a mixed bag. And like the thing,
and you're,
you know,
gonna get a mixed bag if you go out and meet people in person as well.
And statistics, the bigger the sample size, the more it normalizes. So like, if you are only meeting like three people at a bar, I mean, they could all be three fantastic people, or they could be like three serial killers. That was another joke we had. I was like, when I met the guy I'm like still seeing, I was like, we were just like hanging out, and I was like, yeah, I kind of wondered to myself, like, what if he was an axe murderer? But then I thought, like, what are the odds we're both axe murderers? So that's the joke, is I'm still like waiting for the perfect time to just whip out the cleaver. But yeah, like, I think you only benefit yourself by increasing your sample size. If you like, I know Zach, the statistics fiend, will appreciate my statistics theory.
Zach is our mutual friend, who I can attest is a huge lover of statistics. We'll talk about it endlessly.
He's not majoring in data science, but he should have. I don't even think that's a major.
No, it's not a major, but
he's just very, very enthusiastic.
Really into it. Yeah. So I guess my next question is, why do dating apps not work on college campuses?
So I think they do. I think the issue is, so it, like, I love the line in Gatsby, and I'm going to totally misquote it, where it's like, I love large parties, I can never get any privacy in like a small party. That was not the profound way to say it. Well, do you remember it?
I love large parties, small parties,
you can never get any privacy.
There's something about intimate, like, yeah. Small parties aren't intimate at all, or something like that.
Yeah. Well, it's just the idea that like, dating apps, and again, like, with my attitude with like waste no time, take no shit, was like emboldened by the fact that there's a degree of anonymity. Like, yes, it's your name, yes, it's your face, but like, if someone swipes left, you'll never see that person again. And like, so the consequences are just like non-existent, because like, who cares if this person doesn't like you? They literally mean nothing to you in your life. Versus like college campuses, you're like swiping through and you're like, oh crap, that's the guy in my theology class.
Mm-hmm.
And then it creates a situation of like, do I swipe? I know a lot of people who like, if they know the person, will like always swipe, or like if they're friends will always swipe, just kind of for the joke. But then it doesn't even like mean anything, because that's like such a popular thing to do. Like let's say your best friend like found you on Tinder, haha, I swiped on you, haha, what a joke, and it's like you actually liked them. That's not productive
for either one of you.
I feel like the swipe doesn't mean anything, and it just creates, for me, it creates awkward situations. But it's also something like, if I were still like actively dating, I would probably try to overcome, especially because like you can change the age. Like, especially now that we're upperclassmen, it's not so weird to like date someone who's 23.
But do you think people should be embarrassed about being on dating apps on college campuses and seeing the person who sits next to them in theology?
No. I think ultimately, if you're seeing their profile, that like if they're seeing your profile, you're seeing theirs. If you're seeing their profile, they're seeing yours. And so it's like, I don't know, fam, we're just out here, you know. Like, everyone's just kind of, like, out here looking for something. And I don't think it should be this main, huge focus of embarrassment that, like, you're, like...
That you want that, connection.
Yeah. I mean, everyone does. Everyone does. Like, even the cool guy at the party who's, like, chatting up girls, it's because people want connection, you know? And if, like, I think it can be weird, but, like, honestly, dating someone on your own campus would be, like... so convenient.
so ideal.
New Haven's very far away, but like, why? It's just kind of like a why not. I feel like with any dating apps, you kind of just need to get over the stigma and get over the judgment of yourself. I feel like you're your own worst judge. Like, if you say something, you're like, oh, that was a really dumb thing to say, or like, I tried to be funny, I wasn't, or like, oh, I like swiped with this person, but maybe they think I'm weird now, and the next time I see them, it's gonna be so awkward. Like, you're the only one thinking that, and you could just act cool and act normal, and like, everyone will just kind of go with the flow. Like, it's not, no one actually cares that much. That's the thing. That's the secret to life, is people don't actually care.
Yeah, that's kind of true. That's something people don't care. Something my mom would say to me.
They care about themselves. And they like,
people are too worried about themselves. Yeah, not necessarily in a narcissistic way in the majority of cases, but they're too worried about what's going on in their own lives to really care about the silly thing you just said.
They're not spending that many brain cells judging you. And if they are, it's kind of like, more power to you, dude. Like, if my weird joke is like really what you want to like tear apart and like think about a lot, like, glad I made you laugh. Like, you know?
Yeah.
I think just dating in general, and I've like learned this kind of with age, just like growing up, is just you kind of just gotta rock it. Waste no time, take no shit. Like,
waste no time, take no shits. Well, thank you so much for being here, Carolyn.
Of course.
Did my conversation with Carolyn today make you think about a story you've always wanted to tell, or is there an opinion you hold that you've always wanted to talk about? Send an email to voices@georgetownvoice.com. Carolyn, any last words for our listeners?
Waste no time, take no shit.
Waste no time, take no shit. It's going to be my mantra for the week. Before I sign off, I'd like to thank Pana, this semester's assistant podcast editor, for our fantastic music, and give her a shout out along with Kayla, our podcast editor. I hope you'll tune in to our next issue. This is not a magazine.
Next installment.
Next installment. Thank you, Carolyn. You're doing my job. I hope you'll tune in to our next installment of Fresh Voices. Thanks for listening.